establishing a regular mindfulness practice is one of the best things that you can do for your well-being. But what can we do when our environment doesn't lend itself to mindfulness? And what can we do if we feel too stressed out to meditate? Welcome to Mindfulness for Beginners. Hello my friend, I hope you're happy, I hope you're peaceful. It's your old pal Sean, and I want to bring you some exciting news about January. I'm going to be starting a new fortnightly podcast on the Pickaxe Network called Mindfulness for Gamers. It's going to follow the same format as Mindfulness for Beginners, but use gaming as the story or metaphor. I'm really excited about it. I'll be putting the first episode as a bonus on here. I'd be hugely grateful for your support and spreading the word. Don't worry, I'll still be doing Mindfulness for Beginners, but I think even if you're not a gamer, you'll really enjoy the new show. And maybe you know a gamer who might like it. Life of Pi has turned into a bit of a franchise. If you're not aware, it was a book, then it was a movie, now it's been adapted for the stage. This is not an ad for Life of Pi, but I've enjoyed all three. It's a story about a boy who weaves a tale about being trapped on a lifeboat with a tiger. I have to admit, I was disappointed to find out that the book wasn't about pies. I read page after page hoping there might be something about pies. Even a peach cobbler would do, but no. Pi is the name of the protagonist who sails the Pacific Ocean with a huge Bengal tiger called Richard Parker. It's a story of survival, faith, isolation, and truth. So when I found out the production was coming to Manchester, I was very excited. I sat in the Lowry Theatre, thrilled as the lights went down and the show began. A few latecomers were ushered into the darkened theatre. That's fine, they're just a couple of minutes late. But 20 minutes later, people were still finding their seats and talking loudly. I'm sure you've had similar experiences, and I think it helps to explain why most people have a home theatre system, pun not intended. I found myself getting annoyed. People shouldn't be arriving this late. The ushers shouldn't be letting them in. I was watching but no longer aware of the play. I was allowing frustration to sweep me away and exist somewhere else. Another part of the multiverse where no one is late and books about pie actually have pies in them. In the words of Grandpa Simpson, I was giving them the frowning of a lifetime, which was ineffective in a darkened theatre and settled for shaking my head and tutting. Living in England really has rubbed off on me. Not even my English tutting could avert the disruption, though. The younger version of me would have been annoyed about this for quite a while, and maybe you're annoyed on my behalf just listening to this. If so, then apologies for picking this story. I promise it does have a point. But I decided that rather than thinking that people shouldn't be late and that the ushers shouldn't be letting them in, I focused my awareness on the fact that people are late. The ushers are letting them in. My judgment of it doesn't matter and won't change anything. The only thing that matters is that it's happening, it's reality. And in accepting reality, I was able to let it go and go back to enjoying the play, which was very good. There's obviously a broader point here about letting go of attachment, which I've covered in previous episodes. But I wanted to talk specifically about our mindfulness practice. We can often come at mindfulness and meditation with an assumption, which we might not even be fully aware of, that we need to have the right internal and external conditions to be in the present moment. We might think that we need a quiet space, or that we need to be alone, or that we need someone to guide our meditation. We might believe that our mind needs to be quiet, that if we're going through a stressful period, we won't be able to settle, or that we have to be in a good mood. I'm here to tell you that, if anything, the opposite is true. Practicing with difficult external conditions is very good for our practice. So if there's something you find annoying or disruptive, in my case noise, it's a great opportunity to strengthen your ability to concentrate your awareness and let go. If you can focus on your breath when, for example, someone is playing music on their phone, when you come to practice in a quiet environment, you'll be able to drop in much more easily, and you can playfully, curiously, mindfully explore your feelings of annoyance associated with the imperfect environment. And in doing so, what you'll find is that the imperfect environment causes you less stress. We can also be knocked off kilter when family or friends aren't supportive of our practice. They might see mindfulness as a waste of time, but we can look deeply into their ignorance and fear with compassion. Most of the time, what lies behind this is suffering, a fear of new things, or a fear of being alone with their thoughts. And remember, there are people who practice all around you. The Plum Village website can help you find a local Sangha, and there are many other types of mindfulness groups that you can access. And it's the same with your internal environment as well. When we feel stressed out, we don't feel as enthusiastic to sit on a meditation cushion or chair. But that's exactly when we need to sit. Training yourself to be mindful of your difficult feelings as you experience them is a really important threshold to cross when developing your practice. When you're having a bad day, say to yourself, "I'm struggling today, that's okay, and I'm going to sit anyway." You can sit and focus on your breath, or if you feel comfortable, you can explore the difficult feelings you have. We'll talk a little bit more about tending to our difficult feelings with compassion when we recap the basics of mindfulness in January. Trying to develop our practice when our environments aren't perfect can be difficult, but I promise it's well worth persisting. When I was sitting in my living room earlier this year, I saw something red in the garden out of the corner of my eye, and I couldn't believe what it was. A rose had sprouted out of the retaining wall, three brambles that had grown on top of it, and had blossomed into a beautiful flower. Despite the brickwork, despite the thorns, the rose had grown and thrived. So too can you. For your mindfulness homework this week, I'd like you to experiment with practicing mindfulness or meditation in a difficult environment or when you're struggling, and let me know how you get on. Send me an email or join the Facebook group and share how your practice is going. But for now, let's practice together with a guided meditation from Blooming of a Lotus called "I Have Arrived, I Am Home." If you want to take a moment to make yourself comfortable, we'll start with three sounds of the bell and the usual settling in introduction. And we'll start as we always do by focusing our beginner's mind on our posture. So I would invite you to imagine that you have a thread attached to the crown of your head and it's gently pulling you upwards into an upright position, your spine like a stack of coins, your heart raised upwards and outwards, your hands comfortably in your lap. And just allowing a gentle smile to emerge in your face as we enjoy the stability of our posture. And then expanding that spotlight of awareness to your entire body, noticing where you feel warm or cold, noticing where you feel tense or relaxed. becoming aware of the sensation of the clothes against your skin and the points of contact between your body and the chair and the floor. Shifting that spotlight of awareness to your thoughts and feelings. And as we go through the guided meditation, just noticing each thought as it arises, and that might be an anxious thought about tomorrow. It could be a happy thought about today, or a sad thought about yesterday. Just sitting with each thought for a moment, allowing it to leave. And gently, and without judgment, bringing your attention back to your breath. And finally, focusing your awareness on the breath, noticing that column of air between your nose and your diaphragm. Noticing how the air feels cooler on the way in. Warmer on the way out. Breathing in. I know I am breathing in. Breathing out. I know I am breathing out. In. Out. Breathing in, I am aware of my whole body. Breathing out, I release the tensions in my body. Aware of body, releasing tensions. Breathing in, I am at home. Breathing out, I feel at ease. At home, at ease. Breathing in, I have arrived. Breathing out, no more need to run. Arrived, no need to run. Breathing in, I dwell in the here. Breathing out, I dwell in the now. Here, now. Breathing in, I feel solid. Breathing out, I am truly free. Solid, free. Breathing in, I have confidence in myself. Breathing out, I take refuge in myself. Confidence in myself, refuge in myself. And as we reach the end of the guided meditation, the menagerie of birds outside the window was an excellent example of practicing with imperfection. Not deliberate, but quite useful. And just noticing any changes in our body. Any areas of relaxation? Any areas of discomfort? and just stretch your nose if you need to. Noticing any changes in your mind. And if you feel a sense of calm or peace, then I would invite you to carry that through the rest of your day. And finally, opening your eyes and returning your awareness to the room that you're in. And just before we finish, if you're enjoying the podcast, then please do join the Patreon. And it would make a huge difference if you could subscribe. It seems to influence the algorithm massively in terms of putting the podcast in front of other people. So if you can click and subscribe, that would make a massive difference to sharing it with other people. And may you be happy, may you be peaceful, and may you see yourself through the eyes of understanding and compassion. Slana, will ya? And I'll see you next time.
Changing, 'cause I built